It's time for Mock Draft 7.0. We're doing this one a little bit different as well. I'm going to be joined by three draft experts, and we're going to take the reins of the teams in the first round, make those selections. Michael Bolton, he's not taking the reins, but he's here anyway.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we're doing another NBA Draft mock draft. I'm going to be joined by Raphael Barlow of NBA Draft Junkie, Sam from Draft Dummies and PD Webb. And we're going to be splitting up the teams in the first round, making picks for those teams. Of course, there was news of an NBA trade. It hasn't been finalized because it's not allowed to be finalized. I'm going to talk more about that in tomorrow's show. That was the Dennis Schroeder for Danny Green deal. So we'll talk about that more in tomorrow's show. But just to know that today's mock draft, that has been updated. So the Lakers won't have pick 28. The Thunder will have pick 28 in this mock draft. But in terms of the mechanics and what that means, we'll do that tomorrow. We're going to be talking sort of a free agency preview and looking at any moves that do get made after the NBA officially opens for business in terms of trading. We'll be looking at that in tomorrow's show. So stay tuned for that. But just remember, there was a trade that went down. Schroeder for Danny Green and pick 28 between the Lakers and the Thunder. So let's get ready to bring these blokes in and do an NBA mock draft. All right, let's bring everyone in. We'll start with Raphael Barlow of NBA Draft Junkies. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to talk NBA draft.
Got Sam Ferris here from the Draft Dummy. Sam, welcome.
Thank you very much again for having me and can't wait for this week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And lastly, PD Webb is here. PD, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me.
Guys, we've got 30 first-round picks to smash out here, so let's get stuck straight into it. I've given all of you guys teams that you are going to be taking control of. You are making those selections as if you are the GMs of those teams and doing what you would do in that position, not trying to guess what they would do. So let's kick things off at pick number one. Raphael, you have got the Timberwolves at pick number one, so what are you doing?
With the first pick, I'd look to trade it if I could, but I'll go with Anthony Edwards here. I think that, it's not redundant with LaMelo and Wiseman. So I think with the uncertainty with Malik Beasley, I would take Edwards here.
All right, so Anthony Edwards off the board at number one. It does appear that LaMelo will probably go at number one, but taking that Edwards pick again, you're right. There isn't as much crossover between him and the other guys currently on the roster. So a little bit of a shake up straight away here with Anthony Edwards off the board at number one. Sam, you have got the Golden State Warriors. You have got pick number two. So what are you doing there?
Yeah, similar to the trade down, and I'm sure this is not what's going to be happening on draft night. But at number two, I'm going to go with Isaac Okoro. I believe that the wing is really the biggest need for the Warriors. A lot of people talk about the big situation, but the wing, I think, is a more dire need at this point, and the Okoro Warriors fit is one of my favorites in the draft.
Interesting. So now we're really getting wild with Isaac Okoro off there. And this is something that has been said by everyone who's looking at the draft, is that there are probably better fits for teams up the top versus the players who perhaps get picked there. Drafting for fit maybe is a little bit more palatable in this draft, given the lack of, separation between some of these prospects. So Okoro going there at number two to the Warriors. PD, you are up at number three with the Charlotte Hornets. You've got who people are going to think is probably going to be the top two picks in this draft with LaMelo Ball and James Wiseman still on the board. So what are you doing at pick number three for Charlotte?
Charlotte's going to select LaMelo Ball. It's not the most perfect fit in the world, but I think that having a high-level creator with upside to grow who can fit next to another creator makes a lot of sense for where they are right now.
Yeah, look, I think that's fine. And look, people will, PD, have that thought of, oh, why would they do that when they've got Rozier and Graham? I don't think there's any problem with that. And obviously, you don't have any concern with that.
No, I think that, you know, Rozier is a fine player for now, but building towards the future, it's going to be pretty, the current roster blends into the roster of the future.
All right, so that leaves me with the Chicago Bulls at number four. I think most people who have listened to this podcast probably know who I'm going to take here, a guy that I've had at number two on my board pretty much the whole way through, and that is, of course, Killian Hayes from Ulm over in Germany. I don't believe that Coby White really is a point guard that you want running a team. I think he's really strong as a scoring guard, and yeah, who knows how long Zach LaVine is for this team, and Hayes is someone bigger body that can handle defensive responsibilities and run an offense. So Killian Hayes is who I have got going there at number four to the Chicago Bulls. And now we go back to Raphael, who has the Cleveland Cavaliers at pick number five.
At number five for the Cavs, I would go with Denny Avdija. I think he gives them I want to say secondary playmaker, but he might be the best playmaker on the team. But he gives them just another versatile player that can play multiple positions, play some defense, and looks to pass the ball, which is, they don't have a lot of that on the team outside of Kevin Love.
You're right. Their passing is rough, to say the least. How do you think he would fit in like a role where he is a best passer on the team? Because that's not the situation that a lot of people would see him in.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows how bad the situation is in Cleveland. But I think they need to address that first and foremost, because with Garland and Sexton in the backcourt, the ball's not going to move and guys are going to be unhappy. So, I mean, they could look at taking a point guard here. I'm not as high on Halliburton as others, which I could see them making that pick, but I don't think he really makes much of a difference there.
No, I tend to agree with that. So let's flip it over now to pick number six. Sam, you have the Atlanta Hawks at number six. Which direction are you going here?
So pretty easy pick for me here. I'm going Devin Vassell. I really like the fit there in Atlanta, bringing his team defense to a Trae Young-led offense that will need that defensive stability. And I do buy into a little bit of his self-creation offensively, I think a little more than most. So the highest player remaining on my board, and I like the fit there in Atlanta.
Do you think he's the best shooter in the draft?
Probably not, but I do think that, kind of like I stated, I do think his self-creation is a little bit underrated, something he didn't get the chance to show too often, but just the bump up that you saw in his ability to create off the bounce in terms of the pull-up jumper, the high release, he showed a little bit of that at Florida State, and I think you're going to continue to see more of that at the next level. But obviously the defense is really the selling point in terms of, I think he's the best team defender in this class.
We've got a couple of guys who are sliding in the draft at the moment, notably James Wiseman, and a guy that's been talked about as a top three guy for a while as well, Onyeka Okongwu, or at least a top three opportunity. We're down to pick number seven. PD Webb is on the board for the Detroit Pistons. PD, are you going to stop the slide of either of those big men?
I'm not. We're going to go in a different direction.
Let's
go. We're going to take Kyra Lewis out of Alabama.
Oh, yeah. I like this. I had Kyra at number seven in my mock a week or so ago, and people didn't like it, but I explained my reasoning behind it. You tell us your reasoning behind it.
This roster is majorly in flux. Currently, we have like four people under contracts going forward. So expecting there to be any overlap is the only thing locked down. So finding a young creator who can set things up for Sekou moving forward and just establish an identity, which should be, if you're going to take Kyra, it's going to be playing faster, specific style of rebuild. But it does give you somebody who can make decisions going forward.
Now, that puts me in a little bit of a bind here at number eight, because Lewis was going to be who I was pouncing on here as the New York Knicks. The two best players, I think, available are two big men, and the Knicks have Mitchell Robinson already. Not that that should necessarily, when you're as bad as the Knicks, preclude you from taking another big man, but I'm not sure it's the greatest use of assets here. So this puts me in a weird spot. Now, if this was the Knicks in real life, they'd be jumping all over Obi Toppin. I've got no doubt about that, but that's definitely not what I'm going to be doing at this point. This is a tough one for me here. You have created some problems. Ooh, do I pull the trigger? This is risky. Okay. Wiseman's there. I don't think I'm going to go that direction. I tell you what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Alexei Pokusevski at number eight. Now, that is probably high for most people, but I think he can fit with Robinson. I think that he has probably some of the highest upside in this entire class. It is a pick that is absolutely not what the Knicks would do, but that's what I'm doing. And I don't feel great about it. It hasn't fallen the way that I would have liked for the Knicks here, but that is what I'm doing. All right, is it, Raphael, are you, how much do you hate that pick?
I actually liked it for me if I'm in charge of the Wizards because I have an easy no-brainer choice. But yeah, the Knicks fans are going to boo it.
So, oh, they're going to hate it. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to get booed into absolute oblivion with that selection. So I'm taking Pokusevski at number eight there for the Knicks. Raphael, you are on the board for the Wizards at number nine. So so what are you doing there?
Gave me an easy choice. I got James Wiseman. I don't think John Wall. I mean, I'm assuming he's going to be healthy. But I don't think he's had this type of vertical lob threat since early in his career with JaVale McGee. So, I'm going with James Wiseman. And easy no-brainer choice. I'm surprised to see him fall this far.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty easy choice there as well to take Wiseman at number nine. They've got Thomas Bryant currently sitting as their starting center, but you don't not draft someone because Thomas Bryant is around. Was there any thought of taking, say, an Okongwu there instead of Wiseman?
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with either one. I think Okongwu might be the better fit short term, but I think, you know, realistically teams are going to go with upside, and I think a lot of teams may feel like Wiseman has a higher upside, but then again, this draft that we're currently on may be a little different. That's why he fell so far, so unpredictable.
Before I get to you, Sam, I do have to tell everybody that, hey, mock drafting is hard. Drafting is hard. And if you're looking for something to help you get a delicious treat in, but also look after your body, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Six new flavors are back with Built Bar to go with their original 12. Apple Almond Crisp, Carrot Cake, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Cherry Barcia, Cookies and Cream, and Caramel Brownie. These are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber bars that you can use like a treat, but also get that protein in. And it's not like you're eating sawdust like a regular protein bar. Built Bars, the Cookies and Cream Bar, 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So use that promo code Locked On and get 20% off at BuiltBar.com for the best tasting protein bars you will ever find. All right, Sam, you are back on the clock here. You are at number 10 with the Phoenix Suns. Which way are you going?
Yeah, man, so you made this hard for me. I thought I was going to be the one to shock you guys and take Poku at 10, but he's already gone. So I am going to take Onyeka Okongwu, and I know the fit doesn't work, but I think he's clearly the best player available. And I know that's not really the exercise we're doing, but I'd just say that they could package him in a trade at this point. I'm sure somebody would be looking to trade up if Okongwu drops to 10. Again, I just think he's pretty clearly the best player available at this point, and so that's kind of the way I'd go with that pick.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you can look at decisions of, you know, whether this guy is a fit or if it makes sense. But when there are, you know, big drop-offs between him and the next guy, I think that makes sense to just grab him and see what happens and see, is there any chance of him playing next to Ayton, and can you move him on for other picks or other players later on down the road? And I think that when we get to this stage where there is, I think, a little bit of a drop-off here, PD might have some different thoughts depending on who he selects at the next pick. But Okongwu does appear to be the best option on the board. PD, you are up with the San Antonio Spurs at number 11. What are you doing here?
The San Antonio Spurs are going to select Patrick Williams.
Patrick Williams, a guy who has been talked about in quite a few different areas as a guy going to perhaps the Pistons at number 7. He's fallen down here. I've had him go to the Spurs in quite a few of my mock drafts. So tell us how they would look to use Patrick Williams.
I mean, it can create some really interesting lineups. As Keldon sort of projects to be a 4 long term, there are some opportunities for him to play the 5 next to Keldon. You can also throw him at the 4 to provide shot blocking next to Marcus. It's a way of giving positional flexibility while still keeping skills on the floor. It's also a vaunted player development spot. So to get the youngest guy, American guy in this draft, and plug him into a good player development system is a match made in heaven.
All right, so that leaves me at number 12 with the Sacramento Kings. There's one name really sort of standing out at the moment like dog's balls, and that is Tyrese Haliburton, someone who's been talked about as perhaps going even as high as number 4 in this draft. Now, I wouldn't want to do that, and I wouldn't want to have him as my number 1 point guard, but if he's playing in Sacramento, he's not going to be the point guard because De'Aaron Fox is there. Who knows how long Buddy Hield is for this team? We don't know what's happening with Bogdan Bogdanovic. I think Haliburton can play alongside Fox. He can play as a secondary creator. So that is the direction I'm going to go with this pick, and that is select Tyrese Haliburton. Sam, what do you think of that pick?
I like the pick. I mean, I think I've got him in 9th on my board. At some point, yeah, you got to take him. And I definitely don't see him as a primary creator at the next level like you talked about. But the fit next to him, I do think Haliburton is kind of borderline basketball genius in terms of the passing and the off-ball defense. On-ball defense, though, I definitely worry about, and I definitely don't want him to have too much of a burden offensively. But the fit next to Fox is pretty decent, and it's good value at this point in the draft.
All right, so now we go back to Rafael, who's got the Pelicans. In this spot, a lot of teams are... A lot of mock drafts are predicting that the Pelicans will go with someone like Sadiq Bey. Rafael, what are you doing at this spot?
Yeah, I'm going to go with someone a little different. I think for the most part, they're, you know, with Ingram and Zion, their main two guys are set. So I'm looking for a complementary piece that works with them. And it may be a reach, but I think Jalen Smith would be the best fit next to Zion. He'd allow Zion to operate in a post and he'd be able to rebound and defend, but also space the floor. So that's where I go with Jalen Smith.
Are you worried at all about his potential lack of strength?
I mean, if Zion could loan him some, then I wouldn't be. But yeah, I am somewhat. But I think Zion is going to be a tough guy to build around in a sense, because if you have another big that doesn't space the floor, then it's going to – you know, limit, in my opinion, Zion's effectiveness around the basket, because I think he needs space. And so, you know, if in free agency, if Serge Ibaka were to come, then that would make some sense. But I don't think Hayes and Zion long term are going to be a good fit on the offensive end.
No, I tend to agree with that as well. And Smith could play that, you know, Miles Turner-ish sort of role and play perimeter stuff on the offensive end. Zion plays down low and uses his strength there, while Smith can be more of a shooting option out there. So I do understand the pick. And this is one that I think does make quite a bit of sense to have him going to the Pelicans, Jalen Smith going at number 13. Sam, this is your first of 3 picks for the Celtics. Now, in reality, they may not make all 3 picks. If they do, almost guarantee one of those is going to be an international stash type of option, but you've got their first pick here at number 14. So what are you doing for Boston?
Yeah, the Celtics are obviously in a great spot to be able to take a bit of a swing. I'm going to go with RJ Hampton here, who has... I really like his upside. I think he's one of the best advantage creators in the draft. In my opinion, he has the best first step and the best burst in the class. And so I'd be really excited to see what he could do, you know, coming along slowly, allowed to develop there with the Celtics. Again, phenomenal athlete. And I think he's improved as a decision maker. And I'm excited to see kind of how his body fills out. I think he could end up being a really good finisher too in a couple of years.
How does he differ from the pick at the same spot last year, Romeo Langford?
I think he's a guy that can take on a little bit more usage at some point. I think he's more athletic, whereas he's definitely not the defender at this point. I mean, his biggest swing skill is how that defense turns out, because it wasn't so good overseas in the NBL. So that's kind of the main difference there is the defense. But I think Hampton's got the higher upside in terms of just the creation advantage with his burst that he has.
I would agree with that as well. Now, PD, you're on the board here for the Orlando Magic at number 15. RJ Hampton would be someone that I reckon the Magic in real life would be absolutely loving, someone with athletic potential and length and upside, and that's generally what they do, but he is not an option for you. So what are you doing at number 15 here?
Number 15, the Magic are going to work on developing their identity and take Tyrese Maxey out of Kentucky. A great point of attack defender, absolute wonderful finisher. Had a shooting dip at Kentucky, but there's reason to be exceedingly optimistic with the shooting, considering his historical bona fides. He's somebody who's going to plug into a good defense and make them an even better defense. And him and Markel are going to be extremely difficult to keep away from the rim.
Yeah, I really like that pick for Maxey, and I'm not worried about the poor shooting numbers that he put up in college. As you mentioned, good free throw shooter, but all of his other shooting numbers have been really, really positive and good finishing. The creation ability is maybe a concern, his passing, but yeah, I think that is a good fit there, who can play with Markel Fultz, play behind him as well. So I do really like that that selection that you made of Tyrese Maxey. Going at number 15, this would put me on the clock at number 16 for the Portland Trailblazers. All right, let's have a look what I'm going to do here. We've got a massive slider here, obviously, with Obi Toppin. Do I go that direction? I'm not massive on Toppin, but with this the way this Portland team works, he's at this point a better version of Carmelo Anthony in terms of what he provides, no defense and all offense. Is that what I just don't feel right about doing it, but I reckon I might do it. Yeah, look, I didn't think I'd be the one to take Obi Toppin, to be honest, but that is what I'm going to do here at number 16 for Portland, taking Obi Toppin of out of Dayton. Now, there is almost no way that he is going to fall this low in the draft, but I think for that offensive upside alone, I think that makes it worth it for Portland. Raphael, what do you think of that?
I don't think he'd fall. I mean, as a Blazers fan, I've kind of warmed up to it. Sadiq Bey would be my favorite choice there, but I think Toppin could give the Blazers another passer. I mean, I think his passing is underrated. I think he'd help on the offensive end, but Portland needs defense. So
yeah, I'm just going all in. I'm just going all in on offense. Don't worry about defense.
Yeah, and I thought about that for like the Wizards or even maybe even like the Mavs. Just go all in on offense also. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it. Like I said, he would probably be the third best passer on the team, maybe even second already, because Portland just doesn't have a lot of guys that are good at moving the ball.
It's back to your pick at number 17. The Wolves to make their second selection. They made their first one at number one overall, selecting Anthony Edwards. So what are you doing here at number 17 for Minnesota?
Sadiq Bey would be my choice. I think he's a plug-and-play guy. He would be able to come in, and I think I would probably start him at the four next to Cat. Give them another outside shooter. I like Villanova guys. I mean, they're ready to come in and contribute. And then he could also be I wouldn't say a secondary playmaker, but they can get creative with the offense and allow him to maybe be a hub and maybe in the post if they get some mismatches on guard. So I like him. And I think if the Wolves get Anthony Edwards and Sadiq Bey, then they had a pretty good draft.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Look, his shooting numbers were obviously strong. I worry somewhat about his defensive ability and what else he does. But at number 17, I think that is it's a pretty good option to take Sadiq Bey there for the Timberwolves at 17. That brings us on to 18. Sam, you've got control of the Dallas Mavericks here. What are you looking to do?
So I'm going to select Malachi Flynn here. Might seem like a reach to you guys. Not sure where you have him on your board, but I'm a really big fan. I think at his size, he's one of the best defensive prospects that I've scouted. Yeah, for being 6'1", can play on and off the ball offensively. The reason with concern there in terms of the fit is kind of similar to Jalen Brunson, but I just think he's a better player. I think he could give Luka some rest if he needs it, playing on and off the ball. He did that at San Diego State, and he can chase kind of the smaller guards around defensively. One of my favorite players in the draft, and I think he's going to end up returning lottery value. So I'm fine taking him here at 18.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. I had him, he's a little bit higher than that on my board too. So I'm really getting in on Flynn at the moment. Shooting, passing, defense. Like, he's got very few weaknesses outside of his size. And even at his size, he's a pretty strong defender. So I do like that selection of Malachi Flynn there. Now, PD, you're up at number 19 with the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets are going to select Desmond Bane out of TCU.
All right, so Bane, an older shooting guard who is possibly one of the best shooters, or maybe top three shooters in this class. What else does he bring?
I mean, to me, in my mind, he's the best shooter, hands down. And there's not an argument for him being number two. It's on catch and shoot from any range within the gym, off the dribble, off movement. He's probably the best non-point guard passer to me. You probably don't want him on ones, but because of Brooklyn's lineup versatility. You can kind of throw him around, and he's able to fit into different lineups, not just with the shooting and playmaking, but with the strength on defense. This pick also adds value because he's older. He's ready to go right now. And this Brooklyn team is on the clock to produce wins. So at 19, they have a little bit different incentives than pretty much everybody else in this draft.
All right, so I'm up at number 20 for the Miami Heat, and the two guys that I wanted to pick were Malachi Flynn and Desmond Bane, so that's obviously not worked out all that well in my favor. What I think I'm going to do here is, yeah, obviously we've got someone like Cole Anthony that's falling. Not sure that's the direction I'm going to go. I think what I'm going to do is just grab a guy. This is, again, you talk about the Nets, you know, competing and winning now. Miami was in the NBA Finals, so I want someone that can come in and be a contributor straight away. And to me, that is Xavier Tillman, who probably can play some minutes next to Bam Adebayo, but when Bam's off the court, he just comes in and plays really strong defense, can move the ball, and gives you 48 really solid minutes of center, and there's going to be some overlap there. And he could develop into a really strong player that at some point there is a trade asset there for Miami. So I'm taking Xavier Tillman at number 20. PD, what do you think about that?
I mean, I love Xavier Tillman. If it's a good way to keep the Bam idea alive, even in second string minutes, it's going to be essential for his offensive projection that he shoot. He was in the high 20s at Michigan State, but there's reason to believe that with the mixture of the work that in time he'll get to, you know, league average at least. And then that really opens up his passing versatility. I mean, I think this is a perfect fit of form and function here.
Okay. I'm glad I get the approval of PD Webb for that one. That's good. All right. Number 21. It is the Philadelphia 76ers. Raphael, you are on the clock. Philadelphia, let's go.
Yeah. Philly needs some guard help, and I'm going to go with Cole Anthony. He was someone who at this time last year, we were projecting as a lottery pick, and some even thought he was the best guard in the draft class. So to see him fall to 21, I think that even if he's not a point guard, it works in Philly with Ben Simmons because Cole Anthony was such a good shooter off the ball, even though the sample size wasn't great. But I think that a worst case scenario, he's a guy that come off the bench and give you some buckets as a sixth man. So that's why I go with Cole Anthony.
Yeah, we talked about Maxey and his lack of shooting production at Kentucky and not being that concerned about it. Anthony was a guy who the situation at UNC obviously didn't play into any sort of benefit with him being really the only guy that could shoot and double teams and packed paint. Really nothing worked his way. And with Simmons being able to find open three-pointers better than almost anybody in the NBA, I think that is strong for him. And yeah, the role that you're looking at there, does he compete with someone like Shake Milton for that sort of a role? And I think there's a real possibility he can do that. He doesn't need to be a primary playmaker. He can work on his shooting and he's going to have much less attention going his way. So I think that does make quite a bit of sense to get Cole Anthony to Philadelphia at number 21. At number 22, Sam, it is you with the Denver Nuggets. What are we doing here?
So I'm going to go with Jaden McDaniels here. The Denver Nuggets are another team with a fairly complete roster. They can afford to take a bit of a swing. That's kind of what they've done in recent drafts. So I'd love to see them get their hands on, you know, a Poku or in this case, a Jaden McDaniels. I think I'm higher on him than most because defensively, I think he's a really good weak side rim protector. And at this point in the draft, I kind of asked myself, if this guy hits, am I going to be excited to have him as part of my core? And to have a big wing like that, who I think can defend, provide some weak side rim protection. I don't really buy like the offensive creation too much, but in terms of the 3-point jumper, the size, the defense, if he does hit, I think he'll be a pretty valuable player in the modern NBA.
Oh, look, if he hits, it's going to be great. But there's, you know, the risk with him is that there's a big chance that it doesn't hit and he just, you know, runs around on the court with his head cut off, like, you know, the first couple of years of Marquise Chris's career. I think that's a real concern. But you're right. At this point, Denver takes swings on blokes. They do it all the time. It works out sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But they've got the ability where he doesn't need to come in and contribute straight away. They can wait on it and see how it all pans out. It is a very Denver pick when you look back at some of the selections that they have made over the last couple of years. PD, you have got Utah here at number 23. What are you doing?
The Utah Jazz are going to take Grant Riller out of College of Charleston.
All right, so similar to your selection of Desmond Bane earlier, an older shooting guard who is going to provide some really good scoring punch for the Jazz. Is this sort of, he just fits in that Jordan Clarkson role?
Yeah, I think that Riller's the best shot creator in this draft. and that at times the Jazz offense can get very horizontal. And while it's great to have players who fit perfectly into the system, there's going to be times, especially in the playoffs, when they need something to happen or need somebody who can make something happen. And if that's Donovan Mitchell every single night, eventually he's going to run out of gas. Adding another creator who is capable of getting extremely hot, getting bigs in foul trouble, and keeping a defensive or a second unit alive is helpful. The defense, the defensive concerns are minimized because you have Rudy Gobert, place for him and his weaknesses, but also his ability to just give the Jazz a little more oomph in the playoffs.
All right, so I'm in a little bit of a bind here at number 14. I've got a few names that I'm looking at. Someone who has fallen quite a bit is Aaron Nesmith. I'm not going to select him here. What I am going to do, though, is Milwaukee's obviously looking at a championship next season. There's no ways about that. And you're just getting someone in who can be, I guess, somewhat of a contributor straight away is what I'm looking at. You know, really, I think, would have been a nice selection. But I am going to the other side of the ball and looking at this defensively and grabbing Josh Green out of Arizona, someone who can come in and probably be a defensive impact player immediately. And not many rookies you can say that about. His offense, it could be pretty gross. And his shooting in particular, I don't know how he's going to be able to do any of that. But in terms of just being a guy that can come in and play 15, 16 minutes straight away, maybe the offense develops, but come in and be a defensive contributor straight away. I've got Josh Green at number 24. Now we do move on to the next pick, and that is Rafael, the first of your two picks for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You're at 25 with the Thunder, Rafael. Let's go.
Ooh, this is tough. The two guys that I would have liked to see fall as my biggest wild cards were Pokuševski and Jaden McDaniels. So at 25, I mean, if I'm the Thunder, I have a gazillion picks going forward. Well, it's I guess it's me. I'm not Sam Presti. Sam Presti doesn't like shooting, but I'll take Nesmith. And so it just gives me a wing, and he'll be what I thought Terrence Ferguson would be, so I'll go with Nesmith here.
Yeah, he's a guy that obviously shot, you know, ridiculous numbers, 52% from three in those 14 games for Vanderbilt. Didn't shoot anywhere near as good as that as a freshman, but yeah, this is a team that probably does need shooting, and that's not something that Presti tends to value, so be interesting to see what they actually do with this selection. They've got another pick coming up in a couple of goes around. So Aaron Nesmith rounds out the top 25 there, going to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now we have got five picks left in this NBA mock draft. Sam, you have got the Celtics again at number 26. You're going to be back with them at number 30. So what are you doing here at 26 for Boston?
I'm going to take Leandro Bolmaro. We talked about how if they do keep these three picks, you'd likely think that at least one of them, you know, one of those guys will be stashed. So he can stay overseas, develop with Barcelona, continue the season that he's playing right now. I really like his upside in terms of the passing and the creation offensively. And one of the best, I'd say I'd rank him second or third in terms of his on the ball point of attack defense, plus the size. It's an intriguing package, and they can again afford to kind of roll the dice on Bolmaro there at 26.
Sam, if Bolmaro was coming across this year, which he isn't, and he might be 2 years over at Barcelona, do you think he'd jump into the top 20?
I think he might. I have lowered on him a bit recently. He's just continued this season to shoot the ball really poorly, and that hurts. That's kind of what teams were expecting to see, a bit of improvement with him. I don't think he's a great finisher either at the rim, but I mean, with that size, I do think he has a bit of a floor as a player just in terms of the defense, the tenacity that he plays with. He's a resilient kid, one of my favorite prospects to watch in this draft, so I'm definitely cheering for him. But yeah, sounds like he's going to be at least 1 to 2 seasons over at Barcelona.
All right, so it's my pick here at number 27 with the Knicks. We took Pokuševski early on at number 8. I'm going with a guard here and getting some shooting onto this team, and I'm taking Isaiah Joe out of Arkansas, who just took a ton of threes last year. The percentage wasn't great, but I've got no worries about him being an excellent shooter in the NBA. So I'm taking Isaiah Joe at number 27 for the New York Knicks. Rafael, you're up with the Thunder again with this selection they just got off the Lakers. So which way are you going here?
Right here, I would go with Tyrell Terry. I think that he's someone that we've seen on a lot of boards going a little bit higher. But for him to fall to Oklahoma City at 28, and he'll come in and he can replace Dennis Schroeder. So that's where I would go.
Yeah, look, I've even heard of talk of him maybe even going up in as high as the top 15, which I don't think would be a great selection. But Terry has put on quite a bit of weight, and that was one of the biggest knocks on him. So he goes there to the Thunder with some good shooting pedigree. I'm not 100% convinced on him, but that's who I was debating for the Knicks there between Isaiah Joe and Terry. But I went with Joe. We've got two picks left. PD, you have got the Toronto Raptors at number 29.
The Toronto Raptors are going to take Théo Maledon out of Asvel.
All right, so that is one that I've had mocked plenty of times, and I've seen lots of people do that. We believe he is coming over this year, correct?
Yes.
All right, so he will be in there, probably won't be part of their rotation immediately. Quite a passive player at this point in his career, but has some passing ability, and I don't think there's really anything that's overly, controversial or anything about that pick. That just seems like the smart selection. And then, Sam, you're going to finish us off with pick number 30 in this mock draft. What are you doing?
I'm going to go with Skylar Mays here, a guy that I think I have higher than the consensus. You look at his statistical profile last year, one of the best pick and roll players. And also he gets to the rim. You look at his unassisted rim attempts. He's one of the best there. That's a good indicator of creation. Plus, I like the size to play on and off the ball. I really like him. I think he's a first-round talent, so I will take him there at 30 for the Boston Celtics.
All right, so that is the end of our first round. In terms of guys who perhaps are going to go in the first round and that have slid down, you've got someone like Paul Reed, who's perhaps an option there. Zeke Nnaji could be an end-of-the-first-round guy. Robert Woodard, Nico Mannion, these are all names. Precious Achiuwa, Tyler Bay, names who have been discussed there. Isaiah Stewart, in some situations, has been talked about as a first-rounder. But in the end, I think that we covered these guys. Some guys slipped, some guys rose. Overall, I think a really, really strong mock draft from everybody. We've been going quite a while here, so I've kept you guys. So I will say thank you to everybody. Raphael, thank you for coming on, and thank you for your participation.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me.
PD, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And of course, Sam of the Draft Dummies, thank you for coming on and making those picks.
Yeah, thanks again for having me.
And that was it. That's our mock draft in the books. We've got one more mock draft coming before the NBA draft. And as I said, tomorrow we're going to be looking at some trades. We're going to be looking at free agency preview and whatever news comes across the NBA. So we'll talk about that in tomorrow's show. Don't forget, join up to the Discord server. You'll find the link in the show notes and in the description. And on my Twitter feed, you can see links to join fantasy leagues and to vote for the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast for the podcast of the year. If you could do that, that would be awesome. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.